If you have your Bibles today, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Book of Matthew chapter 13, the Gospel of Matthew. You know, a lot of times we get overstuffed. A lot of times we get overcrowded in our lives and overscheduled. I don't know if that describes your life just a little bit or maybe a lot. I don't know. I know it's something I really struggle with a lot of times. Seems like there's more good things to do. Seems like there's more good things to see, more good things to have, and there's less margin in both time and resources to do all of those things. A lot of times you may feel hurried to do some stuff. It's just, you know, you've either put it off or you just have a lot of things going on, or maybe you're behind financially on some things and it's just kind of coming like a tidal wave, kind of rolling over on you, or maybe you realize you're maybe missing out on something. But when our schedule, it seems to me that when our schedule and mind kind of get crowded, it seems like our soul and bank accounts kind of dwindle down a little bit. So I think you'll find out after you take a few minutes to take a little bit of inventory. Many times, like I do a lot of times in my life, the more it becomes crowded, it seems a lot of times God seems to get squeezed out a little bit to the edges by all the stuff, the things going on. And so sometimes you have to do a little pruning. Today I'd like to look at coming out of all that stuff and putting God, putting Jesus in the center of our lives again. Out of all that stuff. You know, one of the most destructive weeds, you know, we think dandelions are bad, but one of the most destructive weeds that crop farmers have to deal with, it's called the Canadian thistle. I don't think it just lives up in Canada, because I know when you Google your phone, I will check these things out. You'll notice them quickly once you see it. It has an extensive root system on those little boogers. I mean, it makes it extremely to get rid of once they get established, because you try to pick them up and they snap off. And the root system on those things can reach to a depth of 15 feet underground. 15 feet. And not just straight underground, these roots can also spread the same distance horizontally as well. So these things, these prolific roots, they can crowd out a lot of the plants. Matter of fact, if you just have 20 of these Canadian thistles in one square plot of land, it can reduce a barley yield by up to a third. And if you're planting alfalfa in that field, it can reduce it at least by one half of what it would normally do. And Canadian thistle is also damaging to a lot of feed crops, because livestock don't want to graze near it. Why? Well, if you've seen the picture of it, it has little bitty spiky things on the edge of its leaf, and cows don't like those in their lips, or horses, or anybody. You know, it's just a mean little plant. Well, today, as we look in Matthew chapter 13, I'd like to begin with verse 4. And in verse 4 of Matthew chapter 13, it says, "And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up, and others fell on rocky places, where they didn't have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." And then verse 7, "Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns," notice this, "it came up and choked them out. And the others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. But go back up to verse 7. It says, "Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out." And then skip over to verse 22 in that same chapter. And Jesus gives us the explanation pretty much of what this means. It says, "And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of the wealth choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful." I want to talk to you this morning about something very simple, but it's something I think we need to hear, because I needed to hear it. And what we see in this text here is that the seed is good and the soil is good, but the Bible said that there were these thorns, these thistles that popped up. These thorns sprang up and choked the word. And what God wanted to do through the seed ended up being inhibited, or in some cases, even destroyed. And then Jesus says, if you really want to know what that means, which his disciples always wanted to do, he said, this is the translation of that. He says, the word is sown, and then the worries of this world, of this life, the busyness, the constant going, and the overcrowding of the life, it begins to choke out the effectiveness of God's word, and then the worries of this life along with that. And the love of the money, it just chokes out God's purpose for our lives and his plan. And so my message today is not just directed to anybody, but my message today is kind of focused on people who have been blessed. People who maybe have been promoted, or people who have been elevated, or maybe you've seen some success in your life, or God's just really blessed you. Because it's easy to give God everything when you have nothing, right? I mean, there's nothing to give, so it's like, God, I'm giving it to you all. And you pull out your empty pockets. But sometimes our greatest enemies who we have to conquer are after we've been blessed. And that is to conquer this stuff that we have and these things that begin to crowd out our life and become overcrowded. And to choke out those things in our lives that really matters. That results in us being entangled and then also results in us coming in bondage. Things like stuff. Things like our desire for things that can begin to choke out the effectiveness of God's word and God's power in our life. And sometimes when you think about it, the challenge is not necessarily the absence of opportunity in our life. God, please bless me without an opportunity of something. But for some people who God has blessed with an abundance of opportunity, and that can begin to crowd out and hinder and prevent his plan and purpose and destiny that God has for both you and I. Sometimes your enemy is entanglements with just the lesser things of life, the things that we really don't give any thought to, the clutter. And we things that we think in our life that it's not really any big deal. But let me tell you that the world is competing for your gifts in your life. It brings something that wants to take away those things from you. And the purpose that you're here, and the purpose that I'm here. And the world says, bring us your talents, and bring us your gifts, and bring us your skills, when instead, God wants all of those for his kingdom. But the world, like thorns and thistles, it just want to suck up the nutrients from you that makes you healthy and strong. I mean, like I said, there's nothing wrong with the seed in our passage today, and certainly nothing wrong with the soil. But the main thing is that it's just an overcrowded place. And the cares of this life, it just begins to overcrowd it. And suddenly God's prophetic word in your life becomes just a small, tiny seed in the forest of a lot of other things. While all the other things begin to become more important and bigger and much more huge in our life rather than God and his prophetic promise in our life, what he has over our lives and his revelation for our life. One of the greatest battles you and I will face is that the more God prospers both you and I, the more God lifts us up, sets us apart, raises it up, it won't necessarily be the demons and the devils that you have to fight all the time. It'll be an overcrowded life. That's suddenly where the cares of this life begin to become such an important thing in your life. It's just always there before you. That God seems to become shrunken down to a tiny and ineffective seed, which isn't really ineffective in anyone's life anymore. The woman with the issue of blood, Mark 5:25, she couldn't get to Jesus because it was overcrowded. There were people just packed in there. Bible says that she couldn't get to Jesus for healing because of the pressing of the crowd. I mean, there was just so many people. And it was the overcrowdedness that almost pretty much stopped the woman from seeing Jesus. And somehow she was so desperate, though. She wanted to see him so much that she was able to break through the crowd. And she was never able to ever capture Jesus' full attention. But she was able just to touch the hem of his garment as he was passing by. I mean, think about that. She never caught his eye gaze, She never got a hand laying on her. She just caught the wisp. Wasn't even able to grasp his clothes, but just caught the wisp of a tassel as it lightly grazed her hand, as she had that hand stuck through that crowd as he was passing by. And as he walked by, she was healed. But she had to realize in herself that this place is so overcrowded that it's going to take something for me to break out of these cares of life that I've got. I've been worrying about this issue all of my life. It's consumed my thoughts. It's consumed me. It's just going on. It never goes away. She realized that I need Jesus more than anything else. In Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus, he was a small man in height. The crowd was so huge, of course, he couldn't see. He was crowded out. I'm sure it was tough being small in stature and up against the crowd. All you see is elbows and, well, you know, it's just kind of tough being small. And it's kind of like the day came for the big sale at the store, and everybody had been waiting for the big sale to happen at the store, and rumors had been circulating in advertisements and a local paper, probably one of the big reasons why the crowd was there. And the crowd formed a long line in the store by 8:30, and that was the store's opening time. And a small man at the back of the crowd tried to push his way to the front of the line, and once he was trying to push his way, he was just pushed back by loud and colorful curses at him. And so on a second attempt to make his way through the crowd, he was punched square in the jaw, and he was knocked around a little bit, and then he was thrown to the back of the line again, got up a third time, and he said to the person at the end of the line, he said, "Well, that just does it." He said, "If someone hits me one more time, I'm not going to even open up the store." So, you know, sometimes it's just small. You want to get in that crowd, but sometimes it's just like they just keep you out. And Zacchaeus was the same way. He was facing a huge crowd. His life was overcrowded not only by people. His life was overcrowded by the deceitfulness of money. He was a swindler. He was a swindler, and God wanted to do a miracle in his life. So he climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see, as the song goes. Because something inside of him says, "I've got to see this Jesus. But my life is so overcrowded with all the appointments I have with people and all the money I have to deal with and this stuff." And not that there's anything wrong with any of those things necessarily. But if we don't watch it, it can choke out the power of God's word, and it can hinder his prophetic direction that he has over for our life. And what happens, we get wrapped up in the cares of this life and just the things that just want to just consume us. And we forget about the eternal because we're consumed with the temporary. And of course, then there was the man who had some friends, beginning in Luke chapter 5, verse 17. The man was paralyzed. He had some friends that put him on a stretcher, and they took him to get healed because they heard that Jesus was in church. So they all went up to church, and of course they get to church and it's crowded. Bible says that they got there, the place was so overcrowded that they couldn't get in the building. And so the problem here again wasn't the seed. It wasn't the soil. Problem was just overcrowdedness. Everybody wanted in. And the place and the person that they were trying to get Jesus to, they were hindered. They couldn't get to him. So they had to do something drastic. Because whenever you're desperate, you do something drastic. And so what they do, they tore the roof off. Tore a couple of the shingles off there, enough to make him a hole to let him down into. And they let him down with ropes right before Jesus to see him. But they almost missed something because it was so overcrowded. They almost missed the miraculous power of God as he healed the paralytic man. They could have just as easily said, it's too crowded. You know the feeling. You go to a restaurant, and if it's too crowded, you're going somewhere else. You're not going to wait there unless you really, really want to wait. I know our family, the only place that we'll really wait a long time to is a place called Lambert's in Missouri. Usually it's a 45-minute wait, but we've driven so far, we're going to wait there. But most of the times, we just go somewhere else. It's just too overcrowded. But these guys didn't do that. And then there was the innkeeper in Luke chapter 2. We all heard about him in Bethlehem. Here's Mary and Joseph, and she's about to give birth to a child. She's about to give birth to the Savior of the world. And they knock on the door, and they knock on the innkeeper's door, and the innkeeper says, "I'm sorry, we're what? Overcrowded. We're crowded. Too crowded. There's no room. I'm sorry, Jesus, Son of God. Do you understand the miracle that could have happened at that house? The miracle that that innkeeper would have received if the Savior would have been born in that inn? Can you imagine how that would have affected their children? How that would have affected their children's children if Jesus Christ had been born inside of that inn? But instead, the innkeeper was sold out. He was in a state of sold out to other things. And there wasn't any room for Jesus in the inn. And so it passed him by. All the devil wants to do is to overcrowd our lives so much that we have no room for revival. We have no room for a fresh touch or for a fresh anointing from the Holy Spirit. Because we get so entangled with the cares of this life, and we can let things and we can let stuff just overcrowd us. The house, the car, the job, the land, the friends, the activities, the kids, the things that need repaired, that just overwhelm us. I tell you what, there's nothing more frustrating than going out to your car in the morning to go to work and it doesn't start. Started just fine the day before, but it just doesn't start. And it just consumes you. It's like, what do I do now? What do I do now? It just can consume you. And it's not because we're an evil person that these things happen to, but these things can just begin to consume us and take over our lives. And they keep coming back as the bad thing. To blessed people even. Go figure. I mean, it's just a product of living in this world. I've cleared out an entire flower bed of every living thing in that flower bed. Clover, dandelions, Canadian thistle, other kinds of weird alien-looking weeds. I mean, I had that thing cleared out. And for a season, I'd go out there and say, man, that looks good. But other things come along, and I kind of soon forget about it. Then one day I look out there, and there's what? There's weeds again. There's things popped up out of, where did that come from? Oh, the birds. Or whatever. It's just the wind. Whatever blows it in there. And they come up. They just keep coming back. And I think that's going to happen in our lives until Jesus Christ comes back and takes us to glory. It's just a product of being in a sinful world and the curse that was issued in Genesis. And you just got to keep plucking. And Jesus, a lot of times, if we're not careful, Jesus can become so tiny in our lives because of the things we have to deal with. And we just come up and deal with Jesus on Sunday, and the rest of the week is just overcrowded. Is there still room in your life for Jesus, or has it become overcrowded? You know, Matthew chapter 9, verse 23 is a story. Jesus went to Jairus' house. Because Jairus' daughter was dead. And it says that when Jesus came over to the ruler's house, he went over there and they were already playing the funeral dirge. And this noisy crowd was filled the house and they were weeping and they were wailing. And Jesus said, we got to make room here. For this girl, she's not dead, but she's just sleeping. And as soon as he said that, you know what they did? They started ridiculing him. They started making fun of him. The house was overcrowded with sorrow. It was overcrowded with funeral songs. This house was so overcrowded with the weeping going on and the depression that just kind of enshrouded it. But Jesus says, you need to make me room. You need to give me some room. And what happened then is when he went to, he put out the crowd outside. He just put them outside. It was overcrowded. And Jesus says, I got to have some room to work with here. You guys are driving me nuts. Your life is so overcrowded, and I'm trying to get depression out of this house. I'm trying to get the weeping out of this house. I'm trying to do something here. I'm trying to get the death and the defeat out of this house. But you guys are so overwhelmed and so overcrowded in here. And when Jesus, he put the crowd outside of the house and he went in, and he was able then to take the daughter by the hand, and the girl rose up from the dead. And it just makes me wonder. I wonder what we're missing with our overcrowded lives. I wonder what kind of power is passing us up by because there's no room. And Jesus is telling us that somebody needs to make room for me. I want to do something here. those entanglements, the cares of this life that overwhelm us. If we would just make room for Him, He'll enter. Jesus always keeps it simple for us, doesn't He? Nothing hard we have to do. Just make room for me. If you'd make room for me and try opening up this book and reading it sometime, or if you try making room for me by taking time to pray or make room for me and love me more than just a tiny seed on Sunday. But if you would come to me daily, I'll give you the daily bread and I'll provide everything that you need and I'll even provide more. And the only challenge that Jesus had for us is to make room for the miracle that He wants to do. And the people were put out with that. But you know what? Sometimes you have to put some people out of your life to make room for Jesus. The clutter and the stacked and packed clutter, the overcrowdedness of the life and that we have, and the world and just the temporal things. And then there's these other things Jesus mentioned in Mark chapter 7, verse 13. It says, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you've handed down. And you do so many things like that. Churches can become overcrowded with traditions. Things that they feel comfortable in. Things that feel right. But these traditions from different denominations that make churches denominations, set by men, becomes the doctrine of man that can void out God's direct word in our lives because we've made it a tradition to do this. It feels right. Let's do it. One of the things that when we first came to church here at Prayer of Faith, being an interdenominational church and coming out of one of the denominations, is we got frustrated a lot because they didn't do the same things that our church used to do. They didn't have an invitation every Sunday. They didn't do this or that. They didn't have special Bible study groups. They didn't have business meetings. Traditions of men can nullify the Word of God. So watch out about traditions that you do all the time. Sometimes they can become so comfortable that you don't even think about what God wants to do or change in it next. Sometimes we need a good fall or spring cleaning, spiritual house cleaning, where we make room in our houses again. Because He wants to put a seed in your life that'll maybe redirect you and anoint you and bless you. But if our lives become so overcrowded with earthly things that it chokes out the power of God or the traditions that we've locked ourselves into. And what's even worse about all of this stuff is you have no idea what you're missing out on. Because it's passed you by. Because it's so overcrowded. It's went on somewhere else. To somewhere else, to bless someone else. And everything we go after needs to become like Jesus. Jesus said it in His Word. If you seek me first in the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. John chapter 18, verse 8, Jesus said, I told you that I am He. If you seek after me, then let these things go their way. Let some stuff go. If you're after me, if I'm what you're searching for, then when you come and you find me, then you've got to let some things go. Because sometimes you have to choose, am I going to have room for Jesus, or do I want to hang on to all this stuff? Am I going to get so caught up in what I'm doing, in the cares of this life, or in the deceitfulness of things that are really temporal, things that really don't matter, but they've just become so big in my life that they consume me? It's all I can see every day. Are you going to let that choke out your passion and your love for God? Think about it. Many of you in your lives used to be real passionate for God. I'm not saying that you're not now, but I'm saying it's just not the same level as it was. And Jesus may be saying, let some of these things go. It's not that you're a bad or evil person. It's just that these weeds from whatever have blown back into your garden and they begin to pop up again. And now I want to take you to the Old Testament real quick, and I want to conclude with this story. 1 Samuel chapter 10. You can turn there if you want, you don't have to. But it's the story of Israel searching for the first king that they would ever have. and his name was Saul. And so Samuel, he brought out a horn of oil, and he said, God, I'm ready to anoint someone at your word to become the next king of Israel. And everybody was saying, well, where is he, Lord? Samuel was saying, where is he, God? And if you notice the answer in 1 Samuel 10:22, it says, so they inquired further of the Lord, has the man come here yet? So the Lord said, behold, he is hiding himself by the baggage. If you have the King James Version, it says hiding among the stuff. God was ready to anoint a king, but they couldn't find him because he was hiding amongst all the stuff, the things of this life, the baggage, the stuff. That's exactly what the enemy likes to do to choke out the word of God in our life, is the baggage in our life. You notice that? The things in this life maybe that we really haven't released yet to God. The things that we keep dragging around from year after year, from place to place, from church to church, from relationship to relationship. This baggage, this stuff. And the Bible said Paul or Saul was hiding among the stuff. I'm talking about blessed people. And you're blessed today, whether you know it or not. I'm talking about people who have amazing opportunities in their life. And the problem is those opportunities can sometimes become the biggest thing in your life instead of the seed that God wants. The seed of the promise. The seed of the revelation. The seed of the purpose for which you and I are both here. And a lot of times it gets scary. And a lot of times we want to hide among the stuff. But don't get covered up with the stuff. It'll smother you. I don't know how many of you guys remember years back, there was a bumper sticker that a lot of people had on their cars that says, he who dies with the most stuff wins. You remember those? It's been years back. Well, that's wrong, because instead it should be, he who dies with Jesus Christ wins. And the Spirit today is calling us to come up out of all of that stuff and return to Jesus Christ and place him as the priority in our life. Because the test isn't when you have nothing. The test is when you have everything. Can Jesus still be a big deal in your life? And all of this stuff is a blessing, not to be able to choke out the seed, but rather to make Jesus Lord of your life. Make him Savior of your life. Make him Master of your life. Question today is, after you've been blessed, can you give it all to him again? There's anointing waiting for somebody who will come out of the stuff. I don't care if you have to thrust your hand through the crowd and just feel the wind of him walking by. I don't care if you have to climb up in a tree and look ridiculous just to be able to see who Jesus is in your life. I don't care if you have to get out of the house in order to change your perspective to see who Jesus is in your life. But the Bible said when Samuel took the horn of oil, he said, Saul, come out of all that stuff. The Bible said that Saul rose up and he came out of the stuff. And when he decided to step out of the baggage and the stuff he was hiding behind, he stood among the people. And the Bible said he stood higher than anybody around him. Yes, he probably was a very tall man, but he also regained his confidence. He fulfilled his anointing, and he was able to become Israel's first king. Get rid of the baggage. Come out from behind it. Get rid of some stuff so that you're not overcrowded, so you can receive God's anointing, what he has for you, when you come out of the stuff. There was a man who was trying to get on the bus, and he had a heavy suitcase with him, and when the bus came, he was wrestling it inside the door, just barely got the suitcase on, and the bus was already overcrowded. Everybody was sitting in seats, so he kind of had to stand in the aisle. And several blocks later, the bus driver looked up in his rearview mirror, and he noticed that the man was still struggling in the aisle, and he was still clinging on to his heavy suitcase and wrestling with it, and the driver noticed how much he was struggling to hang on to it because it was heavy and it started to slip down. And so finally the bus driver said to him, sir, you can put the suitcase down and let the bus carry it for a while. And that's the same way Jesus Christ is in our life. Sometimes we just need to put the suitcase down We've been carrying it around so long and wrestling with that thing. Just set it down. And I dare to say you this morning that God, here's my stuff. Here's my career. I don't want to worry about my career anymore. Here it is. Here's my house. Here's my this. Here's my that. Here's my dreams. Here's my health. I'm tired of worrying about my health, Father. Here's my health. I give it to you. Here's my aspirations. Here's my desires. Everything that I worked for, Father, here, take it. I'm sorry that things have become too big in my life. The worries, the fears, this and that. And I'm sorry I've just made you too little. Help us. Help us all just to learn to take it and let it go. Just let it go.
I've carried this burden for too long. I have turned from you, and my heart has turned to stone. You say your yoke is easy, yet I carry it still. You say your burden is light, yet I carry it still. You say you will give me rest, yet I carry it still. Lower my vengeance, my anger, and my hatred, and banish my wicked thoughts from me. Send down a drop from heaven of your Holy Spirit to soften this heart of rock of mine. Give me the strength to let go. Provide no shelter for grievance against another. Let my heart provide no harbor for hatred of another. Let my tongue be no accomplice in the judgment of a brother. Give me the strength to surrender. Give me the strength to be weak, to let go, and not pick it up again.
Would you all please stand up this morning as we close in prayer? And if you feel comfortable, I just ask you as we close in prayer to raise up your hands toward heaven and say, Lord, I surrender my stuff. I surrender to you. I've had some choking going on and choking out the promise, choking out the things that you have in my life that I may have missed, God. I don't want to miss any of you, the cares of this world, the worries of this world have been choking out the spiritual life in my life, the life of my calling, the life of my dreams, and the life of my purpose. And Father, you say in your word, Isaiah 57:14, to build up and to prepare the road and to remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. So Father, remove those obstacles. Remove every obstacle that prevents us from becoming closer to you, O merciful Savior, Father. Love us and teach us. And be with us daily, Father, to guide us and to protect us as we place our trust in you and as we begin to remove those obstacles out of your way. And lead us along your path of righteousness that you have for us, Father. The way that you want us to walk instead of the traditions of men. And Father, please bless us with your favor and your mercy that you promise us with. Lord, we give it all to you today. We give it all. And I want you to be the biggest thing in my life. I want you to walk with me. I want you to love me. And I want to serve you. And I want to become passionate with you once more. Father, today, fill my spirit. Fill my spirit with your spirit. And cleanse me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Renew me, Father, in right relationship with you. Cleanse me, Father. Make me pure again. Strengthen me, Father. Strengthen my faith that I'm able to walk in you with my passion. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Jesus' name, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and all the church said, Amen. Amen.